Well, we want to welcome again all those. I want to put this on television, so welcome everybody on the internet, and just glad you're here with us. Welcome to all. We're beginning a new series today, and the series is called Pride, P-R-I-D-E. Not that you can't spell, but that's what it's called. And, you know, and somebody may say, well, what's wrong with pride? You know, why are we talking about pride? Isn't there a lot of other things that we could be talking about? You know, shouldn't I be proudful? Shouldn't I have pride? Well, this isn't the kind of pride where you're proud of someone else, you know, and you use it for edification, or it's not the kind of pride where you may be even proud of your children, because that can go overboard, and we'll talk a little bit about that later on as well. This is a pride that is negative. This is a pride that is depraved, and what it will do is it will damage your life. What it will do is it will destroy your life. So this is what the pride we're going to be looking at for the next couple of weeks. And so let me read you a scripture. It's in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. It said, pride goes before what? Destruction, right? Pride goes before destruction. Destruction. So when a person becomes prideful, there's a destruction that's coming upon their way. And then I want you to notice this part. A haughty spirit before a fall. Now, I just want you to hold on that spirit thing there. I just want you to hold on that. Now, what we see here is that pride will destroy our lives. But what I want us to see is that it's actually a spirit. What I want us to see is that a person who has a haughty, prideful attitude about themselves actually has a wrong spirit. Now, we normally don't think about that. We normally don't think of somebody who's prideful or haughty or whatever. We don't really think about them being, you know, having a wrong spirit, an evil spirit, or a wicked spirit, but they do. I mean, it makes sense when you think about it just a little bit. For example, if we all know people who are prideful and haughty, you know, they're arrogant people, they're conceited people, they're snooty or snotty people, they're people that are puffed up, they're vain people. And when we get around these people, they belittle us. They reduce us. They talk down. They condescend upon us. Everything that we've got, they've got better. If whatever education we've got, they've got more. They got a nicer house, you know, than we've got. Their clothes are nicer. Their family's better. You know, their success is more. And everything that we, you know, have in life, they seem they have more, and they cause us to feel belittled, and we want to get away from them. And really what they're doing is they're pushing us away from them with that spirit. So what is that you feel when you get around these kinds of people? It's that spirit. It's that nasty, naughty, wrong, evil, wicked spirit that we have. Now, I know nobody here has that, you know. Nobody here would be like, we go to Lifegate Church, you know, we don't have anything like that. But maybe you know somebody who is that way. And being honest, the way I want to do our series is that you're looking at someone who can be that way. I can be one of the most arrogant, puffed up people you've ever met. I can get so full of myself. I know a lot. And a lot of times when debating, I will condescend. I will talk down to people. And I want to know. Every time I see it, I hate it. I look at it and I say, I'm wrong here. This is just wrong. And what I want to do in our series is this thing. I'm hoping that when you leave today, you will be able to have put a finger on your pride, because it will destroy you. It will cause you to fail and to fall. And one of the main things that we need to learn and we need to get right now is to understand that it puts us on the wrong side of God. That's what pride does. God hates pride. That's your title, Pride, God Hates It. And I want to show you this, and let's take a look at this. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 says this. These six things doth the Lord hate. This is King James Version. Doth the Lord hate. You mean the Lord hates things? Oh, yeah. You would be amazed if you were to just study that out. Six things the Lord hates, yea, and he's going to add another one. Yea, seven are an abomination. Not only does he hate them, he detests them. It's an abomination unto him. Number one, a proud look. The NIV Bible says a haughty look, and it's that haughty spirit. Number one, leading the pack, the top of the list of things God hates is a haughty look, a proud look, pride. Then he goes on, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that dwelleth, that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. But the first thing, number one on the list of things that God hates, is pride. Pride. And he doesn't just hate it. It's an abomination to him. He despises it. That's what the word abomination means. He despises this thing. He despises pride. Now, you know, you would think, wouldn't you, that leading the list of things that God would hate would be something other than pride. You know, I mean, wouldn't there be a lot of other things that you would think that God would hate above pride? You know, I would think so, but no. Because it's a spirit. It's a spirit that combats with God and opposes God. So why does God hate pride? What's so bad about pride? Well, he says it again in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. Let's read that one. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Evil. I hate pride. I hate pride. This is what the Lord says. It's evil. And out of pride comes all this other stuff. Arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. I want you to see that no sin is more offensive to God and to the Holy Spirit and to the Lord Jesus Christ than pride. Why? Why pride, Delbert? Why does God hate pride so badly? Why is it such a deal with him? Let's read another scripture in Proverbs 16:5 says this. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. We have pride in our hearts when there's that aspect of our lives that God detests. And he says this, be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Whoa. I really want you to see how serious God is about pride. It's a serious issue with God. Why? Delbert, why does God hate pride so badly? Why? Well, this is what we're going to be looking at. And I'm hoping we'll understand why pride is such an issue with God, why it leads the pack of the things God hates, and why it destroys our life, and why it causes us to fall. Okay. So I want to do this. Now, there is no spirit that opposes the Spirit of God as does pride. Pride transforms us. Pride shrinks us. Pride reduces us. Pride stops us from having the life that we should have and doing the things we want to do and living the life God wants us to live, the best life. Pride transforms and changes and stops those things in our life. Now, we think differently. See, we think that pride does the opposite. Pride makes us better. Pride makes us bigger. Pride projects us as, you know, as something that we're really not, but if we're projected in something in better than we are, then that should help us to succeed. You know, that should deceive people so that they will think that we're better than we are. And we think that pride kind of does that, but it doesn't. It does the opposite. And I've got a list of things here that I really want us to see what pride stops us. Number one, what it stops us from experiencing in life and how it enhances our life. So I've got about eight things here. We're going to go through them fairly rapidly. Number one, pride stops us from learning new things and admitting there's a better way. Does it do that? You know, we get so hard-headed, but it's not hard-headed. What is it? It's pride. People come to us with a new way of doing something or a better way of doing something. And even in the church world, we see the same thing. There's a teaching that we're so set in our doctrines and stuff. Somebody comes with something new and we immediately reject it because we're so prideful. And God is wanting to expand us and teach us something new. And because we're so hard-headed and so prideful, we miss it. That's what pride does. Pride number two, it stops us from admitting we need help. Anybody do that? You know, I was thinking about us guys, you know, we'll get lost. You know, and how long does it take us to finally stop and ask somebody for directions? We'll ride around in circles for an hour. will never ask for help. Why? What is that? It's pride. It's pride. Oh, you see, everybody in here, every man is laughing at themselves because you've done it. Number three, pride stops us from admitting we don't know what we're doing, even when everyone else knows we don't know what we're doing. Isn't it right? We want people to think we're so smart. You know, oh, I got this. I got this. You ever said that? I got this. And you don't know what you're doing. Pride stops us from admitting we are wrong. Pride stops us from, and we'll get in quarrels. You know, we'll get arguments. And we're wrong. We're the one that's wrong. And we'll still argue. We'll argue with the spouse, right? We'll argue with the kids. We'll argue with the parents. We'll argue with the employer, the employees, our friends. And we're just getting these quarrels, and we're wrong. We know we're wrong, but we're gonna still hang on there, even though we're wrong. And that's exactly what Proverbs 13 says. I mean, I want you to see, pride makes you dumb. And Proverbs 13:10 says, pride only breeds what? Quarrels. But wisdom is found in what? In those who take advice. I want you to know that pride makes you the dumbest thing in the world. The more pride you have, the dumber you are. Number five, pride stops us from apologizing when we know we're wrong or offended someone, doesn't it? I mean, we're the one that's wrong, and pride tells us, "Oh, you shouldn't go apologize. You know, you're the leader. You're the man. You're it. You know, they should come apologize to you." See, it stops us from enjoying the things of life that bring us such blessings. Pride, number six, pride stops us from celebrating the success of others. Isn't that true? Somebody does well in life, they're successful, and we're so envious. We should go and applaud them and tell them how proud we are of them. But that pride thing just won't let us. It stops us from doing that and enjoying that. Number seven, pride stops us from being honest with ourselves, such as admitting we have an addiction. Uh-oh. Doesn't it? We tell ourselves, pride tells us, oh, you can handle it. You got it. You can take care of it. You can handle this. No, you can't. It's destroying you. Pride comes before destruction. And haughty spirit before a fall. It will bring you down if you don't deal with it. And then number eight. And pride shrinks or reduces or stops you from trusting and giving into or submitting to, surrendering to God. You don't need God. You're your own God. So pride stops us from enjoying the life that we could live, doing the things that we know we should do and we really do want to do. And it stops us from having the life that we all want to have and doing what's right. It also doesn't just stop stuff, it causes stuff, or it starts stuff. It causes us to do things. Pride causes us to do things we don't want to do and have a life we really don't want to have. Now, let me give you some of these. Pride causes us to secretly rejoice when others fail. Isn't that something? You know, it's like, you know, you've heard the adage there where you get taller by cutting the legs off of a tall man. You know, you cut somebody down. We talk about people. We bring them down. We talk about them. That's just pride. You just got the issue of pride. The spirit of pride has got you. When you start talking about people and being negative about people, cutting people down, that's that haughty spirit. Number two, pride causes us to be arrogant, even when we know we should be humble. We know we should. Be humble and humble ourselves, but yet and still we'll blow up, we'll puff up. Pride causes us, number three, pride causes us to cheat before we'll lose. You ever done that? You know, you're playing a game, card game or something, and, you know, if you could possibly cheat to win, you know, we call it competitive. It's pride. It's just, you just got a lot of pride. Can't stand to lose. Your pride won't let you lose. Let's cheat, win. Next one, pride causes us to lie about our past. For example, a failed marriage or your education level or terminations from occupations and jobs or maybe addictions. We lie about it. What is that? What causes that? pride. Pride causes us to have the final word. You've got to get the last dig. You know, we just can't. You know, even if we apologize to someone, we'll apologize and then we'll add, but if you hadn't have, right? If you hadn't said, we got to get that last dig in. That's pride. Pride. You just can't humble yourself. Can't apologize. Pride causes us to purchase things we don't need to impress people who don't care. I know people like this. It's fascinating to me. And pride causes us to not serve God and to rebel against God. So pride stops us from enjoying the life we can enjoy and doing the things we know we should do. And it causes us to do the things we really don't want to do and causes us to have a life that we're not proud of, that we don't like. We don't like it at all. Pride shrinks us. Pride shrinks us and causes us to reduce. It causes and stops us from enjoying the life that we want to have. One of the things that it stops us from doing is hearing people. People come to us and they really care about us. They love us. They have something important they want to say to us to make our life better, to show us a fault maybe we have. And we bow up. We get so hard-headed. We're so prideful. We can't hear it. Their words bounce off of our hard head like a rubber ball off a brick wall. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. I can't hear you. Who do you think you are talking to me? What is that? It's that haughty spirit of pride. God hates it. Another thing that pride stops us from doing is loving people. And it stops people from loving us. We push people off. We push people away with our pride. And the reason we do it and the way we do it is because we're so full of ourselves. You know, we're number one, and so pride causes us to fill ourselves up with ourselves. And when you're full of yourself, there is no room for anyone else. Everyone else is pushed off. We crowd people away from us. We push the crowds of people that want to get to us away from us, and we become number one. We're the most important thing. And what it causes us to do is make us giants in our life and reduce people to nothing. It causes us to lessen the importance of people in our lives. That's what pride does. Pride works us and it manipulates us and it causes us to destroy ourselves. It causes us to fall. But the bottom line of pride isn't that it stops us from hearing people. It isn't that pride stops us even from loving people or people from loving us. That's not really the bottom line. Pride isn't that it just causes us to lessen the importance of people in our life. What pride does is it stops us from hearing the Spirit of God. Not just that it stops people. But we get so full of ourselves, we can't hear the Spirit of God speaking to us. We can't listen to a sermon because it steps on our toes. Or we can't read the Bible. Or we can't pray because we're so full of ourselves. There's no place for anyone else to come in and speak to us, talk to us. No place for God to come. Another thing that bottom line with pride is pride just stops people from loving us. And us loving people, it stops us from loving God. And God from loving us. We don't have room for God. We don't have time for God. Because pride has us so full of ourselves. And then another thing that pride does in our lives as well, it causes us to lessen people, yes. But it also causes us to lessen the value of God in our lives. God's no longer important when we're so full of ourselves. We don't have time for God. We don't have room for God. That's what pride does to every single one of us. Why does God hate pride? It becomes kind of obvious, doesn't it, when you begin to look at it. Pride is devastating to us. Pride will destroy us. Pride will cause us to fall. We have no room for God in our lives. David wrote about this in Psalms chapter 10 and the 10th Psalm in verse 2. David says this. In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak who are caught in the schemes he devises. Prideful people use people. He boasts of the cravings of his heart. It's all about him. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. Doesn't need the Lord. Pushes the Lord out. Pushes the Lord away. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. It's all about the prideful person, the prideful heart. Why does God hate pride? Prideful people are arrogant people. They don't care about anybody or anyone but themselves. Pride is a prison. It's the prison of pride. And we shut ourselves in, and we shut people out and God out. That's what pride does. It's a prison. And no one wants to go to prison. No one prepares their life for penitentiary. No one does that. No one says, my goal in life is to be so full of pride that I shut out my spouse, that I shut out my children, that I shut out my grandchildren. That's not what we plan, but that's exactly what happens when it becomes all about us. We lock them out. We push them away. We shove them back because we're number one. We don't have time for family. We don't have time for the spouse. We don't have time for the children or the grandchildren. No one plans to be in the prison of pride. No one plans to put themselves in a prison where people who want to love you can't get to you, can't speak to you, can't tell you what they want to tell you that will enhance and make your life better and love you. You've shut them out. You've lessened their value in your life. And what you could impart to them, you can't because you've locked yourself in. You can't love them. Pride puts you in a prison. Pride. No one goes through life and say, you know what? My goal in life, what I really want to do in life, is be so full of the haughty spirit of pride that I repel people. That I'm repulsive to people. I'm so arrogant. I want to be so arrogant, people don't like me. I want to be so conceited. Nobody wants to be around me. I want to be so snooty. I want to be so puffed up. I want to be so vain that nobody wants to be around me. This isn't what we do. We don't plan to do this, but this is what pride leads us to do. This is what pride causes us to do. Every single one of us has pride in our life. This is what pride does. It puts us in a prison. No one plans to do that. But this is exactly what happens to every one of us. Every single one of us, it puts us in a prison. I try to find some quotes from other people that maybe we would learn from and glean from that could speak into a sermon or into a message or something like this. And so I was surfing the net and looking for quotes, and I found a whole lot of good quotes on this line. But then there were some other ones that were very arrogant, prideful people. I wanted to stay away from them. I just wanted to stay. I wanted to stay with something that would really enhance what we're talking about and show it even deeper from a perspective and way somebody else would say it. So I've got three that I just want to show to you quickly. I like what Thomas Merton, he's an American author, what he said. He said, pride makes us artificial. Pride makes us artificial. We're not who we are, not who we want to be. It makes us artificial. It doesn't make us real. It makes us artificial. And humility makes us real. And we're going to be talking about humility in our series and what we're going to be talking about. I like what Benjamin Franklin said. Benjamin Franklin said, in reality, there is perhaps no one of our natural passions so hard to subdue as pride. Now, this is a quote. He's capitalized passions. He's capitalized pride. And he calls it no one. What he's done is personified pride. He's saying that pride is alive. That pride is like a person. That pride is an entity. It's an alive entity. Disguise it. Struggle with it. Beat it down. Strife with it. Mortify it. As much as one pleases, it is still alive and will ever now and then peep out and show itself. You see it perhaps often in this history, talking about himself. For even if I could conceive that I had completely overcome it, I should probably be proud of my humility. Oh, you know, this is it's alive, it's an entity, it's something that we can beat down, it's personified, but it's going to be in there somewhere, and even though we whip it over here, it'll pop up over here, and if it can't show up anywhere else, we'll be proud of how humble we are. And pride is in all of us, and pride is hiding in each one of us somewhere. I like what Joyce Meyer said. Pride is an independent, me-oriented what? Spirit. Now, maybe if you don't believe me, that it's a spirit, maybe you believe Joyce Meyer. I mean, she has a way larger ministry than we do. You know, listen, it's a spirit. It's alive. It's an entity. And it causes us to not be authentic. It makes people arrogant, rude, and hard to get along with. When our heart is prideful, we don't give God the credit. And we mistreat people, looking down on them. And thinking we deserve what we have. They don't, we do. We look down on people. And pride is in all of us. Pride is in all of us. And we can identify it so rapidly, instantly, with someone else. We see it like in arrogance, or we see it in this person there. We see pride in others, but man, we can't see it in the mirror. You know, we can't see it in ourselves. It's so deceitful. It so hides inside of us. It finds a way to disguise itself. It's so sneaky, pride is. But it's in every single one of us. It's in all of us. It's somewhere. And maybe you look at somebody who's arrogant and, you know, conceited, and you can see that pride immediately in their life. And because you're maybe not arrogant and conceited and vain and those things, maybe you say, well, I don't have pride. I don't have a struggle with pride. Oh, yeah. It's there. It's just hiding somewhere else. You know, for example, some people struggle with clothes. I mean, they're so prideful in their dress. They have to have the name brand. They have to have the very best. They have to dress not only themselves, but their children in the very best, the top of the line, the most expensive. So what does this do now? How they look at other people that don't dress that way, that gets their clothes for themselves and for their children at a lesser expense, a lesser price. How do they see those? See what they say? I can't hear what they've got to say to me. Look how they dress. Look how their children dress. I don't want their children playing with my children. Look how their children dress. They can't associate with me. Look how they dress. We can't hear them. We can't love them. We've locked ourselves in the prison. We've locked them out. They may have something amazing to say to us. They may have an amazing way of loving us. And they can't love us. We can't love them. And what we have done is belittled them. We have reduced them down to nothing. They're not important to me. Clothes. Sometimes pride will hide behind clothes. How about possessions? Your houses, your cars, and your possessions, boats, and so forth and so on. I mean, we have the possessions, and somebody else doesn't have the possessions. They have a smaller house than we have, and we don't want to associate with them. I mean, they don't live in a good neighborhood. You know, they can't get into my life. What do they got? What can they say to me? Look where they live. How can I love them? Hey, I don't want to be around them. I don't want them in my life. I'm going to build this prison. I'm going to build this wall. I'm going to shove them out. I don't want them around my children. Pride's hiding in all of us somewhere. And it will destroy our lives. It will cause us to fail. How about your abilities? Oh, well, all of us are endued with special abilities that we have, and we can do something probably better than other people can do it. Do the same thing. We're good at it. We're so good. And others are not as good at what we can do. And so we belittle them. We look down at them. They can't do what we... They don't know what we know. What can they say to me? How can I love them? How can they... They don't have anything to give. Ugh, I don't need them in my life. And so we reduce them down. We belittle them. That's what pride does. That's what pride does. How about family? Family. Family's a big one. You know, we look at our family. Our family's doing so well. And we look at another family, and maybe the daughter's gotten pregnant and the son's on drugs. Maybe the family's had to bankrupt. Family. So we look down at them. I don't want to be friends with that. I don't want their children with my children. I don't want them coming to my house. I can't love them. They can't. I don't. We put ourselves in the prison. We shut them out. We shut ourselves in. Pride. Pride is in every one of us someplace. Every single one of us. How about education? Education is a big place for pride. Education is big. You know, someone has a higher education than another person, and maybe the other person didn't have the opportunity to go to college or didn't have the opportunity to experience what you experienced, and they don't have the vocabulary you have, and they can't speak as well as you speak. So you can't. What can you hear from them? What can they tell you? They don't have an education. I can't love them. Education is a place for pride to hide behind. How about success? Success is a good place for pride to hide. Look how successful I am. Look what I've accomplished. Look at you. Minimum wage. Oh, man. I'm so successful. I don't have time for you. What can you say to me? Look how successful I am. I can't love you. You can't love me. Pride. Why does God hate it? Why? Does God hate it? Oh, we don't have room for God. We don't have room for people in our lives. Pride, you know, we think pride deceives people. We think, you know, we become this person that we're really not, and we express ourselves and show ourselves as something we're not. We're artificial. And we think we're deceiving people. No, people will figure you out eventually. But well, who you are deceiving is yourself. Is yourself. You think you're something? I run all the scriptures when I'm doing a series. And if you find some that just really whacks you, and you say, wow, I got to use that. And I found one. And I found it in a place I would have never thought that I would have found it. It's in the book of Obadiah. Never would have thought I would have found a book about pride in the book of Obadiah. But I did. And this is powerful to me. And here's what it says in the book of Obadiah, chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the cliffs of the rock and make your home on the heights. You who are so haughty. You who look down at people. You who have your place, that you have success, your clothes, your possessions, all the things that you've acquired in life, your education, your family. You who look down on others, you're in the heights. You who say, who can bring me down to the ground? Though you soar like the eagle and make your nest among the stars, though you think you're something, from there, from where? From there. You see what I wanted to say a minute ago. Let me finish the verse. From there, I will bring you down. Declares the Lord. Declares, not says, declares the Lord. Now, when I was going through all of those things a while ago, the clothing that we have causes us to be a prideful person. When I was talking about the aspects of our abilities that we have, our possessions that we have, our education that we have, the families that we have, when I was going through all of those things, the success that we have, You see, that's where God will meet you. Because what pride is where you are in your life that causes you to look down at people. Where is it in your life? What pride? Where is pride hiding? Because wherever that is, that's where the Lord will meet you. And He will bring you down. I was pondering this, you know, as I was going through the lesson. And I was thinking, many of you will remember this. Several years ago, church was just doing great. We were just blowing it out, man. We were out of chairs. we didn't have any chairs. We were bringing out folders back there in the back, you know. So we called a meeting, had a meeting. And we were so proud of ourselves. And we met and we talked about it. We need to order some more chairs. So I was going to order some more chairs. But the next Sunday, 70 people didn't show up for church. Doug Aker walks in my office and he says, "Pastor, I think we might ought to hold off on ordering those new chairs." See, you get so proud. You were so proud of what we had done. And in my life, as I look back, every single time when I got boastful and proud and haughty, something happened that wasn't fun. Destruction came. I fell. God will meet you in your cliff. Now, what this verse was talking about in Obadiah, what it was talking about is the nation of Edom. It was the descendants of Esau. And what had happened with them is they were on Petra. They lived on Petra, this 2,000-foot cliff, mountain high. They had built a fortress there, and they felt invincible. Nothing could get to them. Nothing could bring them down. Okay. God says, you're not too high for me to find you. And God brought them down. Babylonian armies took them out. There is no Edom today. God says, "I declare, I will bring you down." And when we get haughty, when we get in a place in our life where we're looking down at somebody, listen, I'm telling you, you better grab it. You better deal with it, because it will cause you destruction. It will cause you to fall. I've experienced it. Know what I'm talking about. God wants us to all know this and where it's at and how to handle it. God wants us to know that we can live on Petra if we want to. But He's going to know where we're at. He's going to bring us down. Pride will destroy us. Pride is destroyed. So why does God hate pride? Why? Well, I'm hoping we're seeing it. I'm hoping we're understanding why God hates it. It's an opposition to God. It's totally opposite of the things of the Holy Spirit. One day Jesus was asked by a very prideful Pharisee guy. He was an expert of the law. He was a lawyer. He was educated. He comes to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" Now, if you've been in church any length of time at all, you've heard this verse quoted or read it or whatever. But I just want to use it to summarize what we've sort of said here today about pride. Here's what Jesus replied to him. Matthew 22, verse 37, it says this. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Then he says this. "All the law and the prophets hang on" what? "These two." These two commandments hang everything else on it. Love God. Love people. What pride does is it puts you in a prison where you can't love God. Shuts you away from God. God's not important to you. You can't love God and you can't love people. People are not important to you. The importance of people is lessened. It has stopped you from loving God and loving people the way you should and the way you know you want to. It stops you. It has reduced you. It has stopped you. It has shrunken you to where you cannot hear people wanting to speak into your life and help you have a better life. You can't hear that, but neither can you hear God. You can't love God. You can't love people. You can't hear God. You can't hear people. That's what pride does to us. Pride lessens us. Pride lessens our life. And it lessens the importance of God in our life. It lessens the importance of people in our life. Listen, we all need people in our lives. when we see people, when we love our neighbor as what? As what? When we see people in equality, not lesser than, you're going to have a blessed life. That's what pride does to us. Pride is a spirit, and it comes upon us, and it's in total opposition to the things of God. Whatever God wants, pride wants the opposite. It's in total opposition. And it causes you to be arrogant. It causes you to be conceited. It causes you to be stuffy and snuffy and snotty. It causes you to be puffed up. It causes you to be vain. It causes you to repulse people, to push people away from you. Nobody wants to be around you. That's what pride does. Pride puts you in a prison where you shut yourself in and you shut God out. You shut yourself in and you shut people out. That's what pride does to every single one of us. It's a spirit. It's a haughty spirit of pride. And it's in all of us. Where is it hiding in your life? What's it hiding behind? Is it hiding behind your clothes? How you dress? Is it hiding behind your possessions and all the things you've possessed in life? Is it hiding behind your abilities and your all you know? And you look down at people. What causes you to look down at people? And whenever it comes up, you need to address it right there. Is it your family? Is it your family? Is it your success? Is it your education? What causes you to belittle people? What causes you to not need God in your life? Let me tell you, we need to find it before it finds us and destroys us. It will destroy us. We need to find it first. In our series, I'm hoping that's what we'll do. In our series, what I'm wanting to do is find it before it finds us and destroys us, and we can destroy it. That we can find it before it causes us to fall, and we can get rid of it. What do you think? You see, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You don't have to fall. You don't have to fall, but you got to deal with pride. Let's pray.